HPR has learned that the Marco Polo Association is telling property owners it now has 67% of its members in support of installing a sprinkler system in the building. It has to have a two-thirds majority to move ahead, and residents tell us the association really only needed 65%. The association said it is, however, extending the deadline for residents to vote until February 28th. It hopes to notify lenders who may be interested in offering loans for the installation of the new sprinkler system. The property managers, Associa Hawaii, said repairs on the building have begun, with abatement plans for each affected unit drawn up. The pool and garden areas have reopened, but repairs in the hallways may mean some residents have to relocate while the work is underway. Brigida and Tom Schmidt, who own several units in the Marco Polo, say they're still struggling to work through other issues with the association as well.
There's a hui from the 26th and 27th floor folks, and we are asking Associa Hawaii if they could help us out with their maintenance fees, because we're not taking advantage of all the amenities in the building, yet we're paying for it. And some of us are paying about $600 to $800 a month for it. That's just for the maintenance fees alone.
Wow. Okay. Anything you want to chime in on?
The maintenance fees should clearly be being paid by the insurance policy at this point. It shouldn't be a question that the owner should be paying it, because they're displaced and this is damage and it should be covered by the insurance. But it seems that the attorneys for the insurance company are advising them that they have no responsibility, but I disagree with that.
We also talked with several residents of the Marco Polo this week, including displaced renter Nezia Azmi. She and her husband lived one floor just below the unit where the fire broke out. The couple's now renting in another nearby high-rise. They were only able to get into their Marco Polo unit in November to salvage what they could. They're still unpacking boxes and settling into their new home. They expressed frustration that for so long they were stuck in a legal limbo, and hope in the future others can be spared their grief and trauma.
The building staff themselves, they were great. They were compassionate. But I think once, it became a liability issue, and I understand lawyers have their jobs too, but it was just all around, it was just this really sad thing that we're just happy to kind of, be over with it. But it was definitely, it was difficult.
So you're out of the building now. You, I'm sure, yeah, still have friends that reside in the Marco Polo. What have they shared with you about their frustrations?
I won't give names, but two of them lived on the same floor where the fire started, and they at least we were able to get back in and see whatever we could eventually, even though we still don't know what risks we took on. I don't think were able to ever go back in there. And then another couple on our floor, on the 25th floor, again, they were asked to wait so long that all their stuff, they had worse water damage than we did. And they had just gotten married, they had just moved in there 2 months before the fire, and everything that they bought was just moldy. So they had to trash everything and start all over. And the question is, yes, it was a fire, everything's, a lot of things were destroyed, it was, and lives were lost. So really, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we were, well off. We were not that badly affected by it as some other folks. But there were so many things that felt unnecessary. They could have staggered access, as in the moment they knew this unit, okay, you can go in and you can save this, or you cannot go in. These things are all damaged. Move on with your life. Go ahead and start buying new things. It sounds trivial, but like us, like I waited around for a long time to buy a new ironing board and an iron and a hair dryer. Folks who live from paycheck to paycheck, we have to wait for these things. It's not just as, as easy as, well, I'll just go to Walmart and buy a new thing. Everything adds up. So it's those kinds of frustrations, and they add up. It wasn't necessary for them to wait that long to tell us, to give us the information.
You mentioned health concerns that you had. You said things were moldy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. So, I don't know the protocol. I'm no expert in this area, but it's just kind of inconsistent. On the one hand, the embargo of information, the premise that was given, the reasoning that was given to us was that, well, we want to make sure we're considering all the safety precautions and things like that. But at the same time, when we went there, you know, one side of the hallway, one side of, you know, the floor was affected, so the carpet was uprooted, and there was an air conditioning unit that was just left there in the hallway with asbestos warnings all over it. And then, but, you know, there are still people living on the other side of, you know, of that same floor, because that side was not that affected. So you just kind of wonder, like, okay, what's louder here, the actual safety precautions, or, you know, whether something is liable, is going to make the building liable or not. And when we went into our units, it was definitely, I mean, I think give the information that was given to us, after a while, we just read through it and we said, okay, let's just put on masks and hope for the best. But if we had a chance to go in there sooner, say in August, I think it would not have been, the mold would not have been that bad, you know, and we wouldn't have had to wash all our clothes, you know, because it wouldn't have gotten that musty, because it was a month versus 4 months.
Right, but I'm sure you probably have questions about the asbestos risk and the exposure.
We do, yeah. I mean, you know, I think our unit was, I forgot the category number, but it was something along the lines, there could be some, but, you know, you're safe to go in. You know, that kind of is, again, some legal statement. But
you
when
did.
We went in there, all the testing that they did, right? Again, I'm no expert. Maybe I'm just, you know, blowing hot air right now. But there are all these holes in the wall, in the floor, in the ceiling where they did testing, you know. And we know these old buildings, yeah, probably have asbestos in there. So is that interrupted asbestos when they poked all those holes? Because they didn't plug them back in again. And then they told us we could go in. You know, so it's really messy, I guess, is what I'm saying. Maybe if we had access to lawyers or scientists, buddies, or, you know, the time to read through all of this and go to our, you know, 8 to 10 hour work days, then it might not have felt that bad. But most people don't have, you know, that time and those resources, and they're just regular folks like us who are just trying to move on. Finally, we did, but again, not without a lot of just frustration.
Right, and you did mention that the staff has just been terrific.
Yeah, the staff at the Marco Polo, you know, we loved it when we lived there. They were very professional. They were always, you know, just so kind, and they did their jobs really well. And the first few days, I was there right after the fire, and you know, they were kind of the face, and they were trying as best as they could. Like, none of them yelled back at any residents, but I know all of us asked them the same questions over and over again, you know.
Right. Well, we heard lots of stories about how the building personnel, folks with the association, the building manager really were out there during the fire trying to get residents to safety, helping them down the stairwell. Lots of stories that haven't come to light.
So, you know, I was there 2 days after the fire, but even when I came in there, and I just hung out in the lobby because I was just waiting for information, and they were the face, and they were the humans, and they knew the residents, because we were all part of this, you know, little village that is, you know, the Marco Polo. And I really commend them for doing their job. And there were a lot of folks, too, that were just from the community that just walked in and asked, how can I help? You know, there was this lady, she had just moved here from, I think, the Bay Area, and she was trying to, you know, make it in the restaurant business or something like that in Waikiki, and she just walked in, and she just, you know, started helping out, and she ended up being kind of an honorary, Salvation Army / Red Cross, you know, assistant, and she was just helping everyone. She helped me move, you know, when I was able to go in for 10 minutes to get my computers and important papers out.
You've got the kindness of strangers.
And brought me. Yeah. Just, you know, the community, I think, really, the community was there. The Ohana was definitely there. And, you know, the folks that I work with here at the College of Ed, they were just, you know, just so supportive. I would say, again, all my lawyer friends are not going to like me saying this, but, you know, when the lawyers got into the picture, it really changed. You know, we were told, you know, no, you, unfortunately, you know, building staff can no longer answer questions. You have to go straight to, I'm blanking on it, Associate Hawaii. Like, we have to deal with them directly. And again, I think maybe they have one or two people that they cast to be the face of, but it just wasn't the same. And they were, hands, I think, were tied by whatever, you know, their lawyers told them they were supposed to do and to say.
Right.
Again, understandable, but it was just less human than it should have been.
So 6 months after the fire, you're just getting settled in a new apartment nearby.
Yes. Yeah, and we love our new apartment. No sprinklers, though, still. Which is, you know, I don't know where, you know, where we can go with that. But we did get, you know, renter's insurance. We learned our lesson there, so we're covered at least. But, you know, if another fire happens, it's going to be the same kind of mess. And the question is, you know, are we as a community, you know, the greater community in Honolulu and Oahu and Hawaii in general, are we going to be prepared to handle this in a better way? I think a lot of it is just coordination and information, and again, putting the humans first before the liabilities and the dollar signs.
We've been talking with Nezia Azmi, a former renter in the Marco Polo building. We should add that Associa says it has distributed more than $93,000 in aid to 120 affected families. That's in addition to more than $600,000 in loans from the Small Business Association.
Hi, aloha.